Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We're going to read the Old Testament, Exodus. Chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old, males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. Then this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, then dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. He will see the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. And when you enter the land, the Lord will give you, as he has promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was found loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. May the Lord give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Let's open in prayer. Father, again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. This is where we ought to be as believers. And I thank you for bringing each one here. You haven't brought them here by coincidence. You have a word for each one of us assembled together this morning, and also those listening by radio, internet, CD, wherever you may be. May God give us understanding of your word this morning and teach us, we pray, through this message that we have prepared for the people. We need your help, so guide us and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. And a slight diversion today due to Memorial Day weekend. So what do you think of when you think of Memorial Day? A lot of people, it just reminds them that it's a time for vacation, a time for barbecues, and whatever the case. But obviously the most important thing to remember on Memorial Day, it is a day of remembrance, a day of remembrance. And you're going to be hearing a lot about the word remember today. And we do remember, we have remembered those who have made the ultimate sacrifice so we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. Amen. And the freedoms we often take for granted. Freedoms that a lot of people in this world do not have, where we can meet together without fear of being arrested and imprisoned or even killed for our faith. Today is a day to remember. And I just wanted to remember just a few things today, just a couple of things. One of the freedoms that we have, that is that we can have the freedom to read the Word of God. Amen? Some people in certain countries, they're not even allowed. It's against the law to own a Bible, let alone read it. And we have the Bible in our own hands. We can hear it on the radio. We can purchase one. We can hear the Word of God preached in messages like this in churches all around the country. So the book, the Word of God in itself, is a book of remembrance. We remember what we've just read, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God, how God is dealing with mankind in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's all in the book. So we need to study it. We need to read it. We need to learn from it. Amen? How God is dealing with mankind, past, present, and future. And there are certain special days in the Bible that are designed to help us to remember specific events. That's what we read this morning in the book of Exodus. The people of Israel were told to remember the feast of the Passover. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought you out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. And some of you may know the history of Israel. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Then God called a prophet called Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, or the king, "Let my people go." Moses was a Jew, was an Israelite. But Pharaoh refused to listen because his heart was hard. And that's the problem with a lot of people today that refuse to receive Jesus as their personal Savior, or unwilling to listen because their heart is hard. And we pray that God will break their stony heart and make it soft and pliable to receive the truth that only Jesus saves. Amen? So God sent various plagues. They're already slaves. God sent various plagues upon Egypt just to get their attention. And every time a plague got at its worst, the king, the Pharaoh, the emperor, he would say, "Hey, Moses, hey, Mo, stop the plague. Stop the plague and I'll let your people go." But after every plague was stopped, Pharaoh would renege on his promises. And finally, Moses told the Egyptians, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again." A loud wailing because of all the people, all the animals that would die. Then God gave instructions to the Israelites for each family to choose a year-old lamb without spot or blemish to be sacrificed. The lamb that was to be offered had to be the best of the flock, without spot and blemish, without any defects whatsoever. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who was ever born without sin? Good. I'm glad you know that. That he is the best. He is the best. He is the best. That reminds me of that song. Simply the best. Better than all the rest. Yes, he is. Without sin. The gentle Lamb of God, who offered himself as a perfect sacrifice because he was perfect. He was without sin. He was without spot and defect. He sacrificed himself on the cross at Calvary, impaled on a blood-stained wooden cross on Calvary's hill. There he suffered in agony, shed his sinless precious blood, so that you could have your sins forgiven. And the question is, have you, do you know that you have had your sins forgiven? If you have, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We should always remember that Jesus is the best, and he deserves our best, not just our leftovers. That lamb had to be completely consumed with no leftovers. And Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And it's not hard to keep his commandments if you love Jesus and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We get into trouble when we don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and we're drawn away by our own sinful desires, our old sinful nature. But greater he that is in us than he that is in the world. Remember that. We've got the Holy Spirit. We have the power. We have the power to live for God. Amen. God told the Israelites, we read, that on that fateful night he would bring judgment upon the unbelieving heathens, the Egyptians. And he did. Why? Because God always keeps his promises. Amen. This book is full of God's promises, and he always keeps his promises, not like Pharaoh, who reneged on his promise that he would let the people go, assuming he would stop those plagues. God always keeps his promise. You can always rely on the Lord. There's people, you can't rely on them. Sorry. Be nice if we could. Some people you think you can. Let's hope that is true. But we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. But God will never, ever let you down. Do you believe that? And say amen if you believe that. God always keeps his promise. And there was weeping and wailing in the homes of those Egyptians that night because people died, we're told. They died, the firstborn. And Jesus said in Matthew 13, 41-42, Jesus said, and this is what's going to happen in the future, to all those that are unsaved, to all unbelievers that haven't received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and it's really not a hard thing to do, but because of the hardness of people's hearts, they prefer just to stay the way they are, but they remain in that lost condition. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to turn from their sin to the Savior. How hard is that? Apparently it is for the majority that are on the broad road that leads to destruction. This is what Jesus said, and I hope you're not going to be in this group. The Son of Man, Jesus. He will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil, talking about unbelievers, they will throw them This is the angels doing this. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I thought about this, and, you know, they're going to get a resurrected body as well, the unbelievers as well as the believers. And it says gnashing of teeth. I thought about this. They're all going to have teeth. You ever thought about that? They may have lost them in this life, but they're going to be whole without the Spirit of God in them. But they're going to have hair, and I didn't say hair, but they're going to be whole. And they're going to have teeth. And it won't be false teeth. It'll be real teeth. It just occurred to me. You ever thought about that? It's never occurred, and I've read this so many times. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if you're listening and you don't have teeth now, you will have one day. And I hope you're not going to be in that group. But you don't have to be in that group, because he goes on to say in verse 43, does Jesus, and he always told the truth. He said, then what happens to the Christians? 43 says, then the righteous will shine. Talking about you, if you're saved, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he says, whoever has ears, I think everyone listening has got ears, let them hear. And not only listen to the word of God, but also obey it. So we're going to shine, the righteous. These are the redeemed of the Lamb. These are Christians that he's referring to, as opposed to those that are unrighteous. We receive God's righteousness when we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we receive him as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we are declared righteous by God, even though we are sinners by nature. Do you understand? Back in Israel, let's go back to Israel. The good news, Mark's going to Israel, but we're going to go back to Israel right now. Mark's going to Israel. The good news was that whenever God saw the blood of that lamb that was slaughtered, the people in those homes were spared from God's wrath, and they were spared from death. Now, let's never forget our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what it cost him to bring us to God. He washed away our sins completely, washed them away. He's given to us abundant life on earth. If you're a Christian, you really know what it means to live an abundant life. And he gives us, by his grace, as a free gift that cost Jesus plenty, that cost him his life on that cross, he's given unto us eternal life in glory. And he's prepared a guaranteed home in heaven for us. I like the word mansion. I just don't want a bedsitter. I don't want a good news version room. I like the King James version. He's prepared a mansion. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also. And he's going to come again. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air at the rapture when he returns. So isn't he a wonderful Savior? Amen. Isn't he a wonderful Savior to believe in? Isn't he a wonderful Savior to receive? Isn't he a wonderful Savior to worship, to honor, to follow, and to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is one of them. He said that you must be born again. You must be. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. If you want to enter in, you must be born again. So that's some of the freedoms that we have because of Christ and the Word of God. One of the other freedoms we have is what we're doing this morning, the freedom to worship God. We've alluded to that already. The Bible teaches us to remember that today is the day we are to gather together to worship, because today, Sunday, is the day of worship. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning to honor the Lord on the Lord's day in the Lord's house. Amen. It all started in the beginning when it took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, because God never gets tired. He's not like a man or a woman. It took him 6 days. It could have taken him a nanosecond, a millisecond to create it all if he chose to do it. But he took his sweet time. It took him 6 days. And then he rested. In other words, he just completed what he did on that day, which happens to be a Saturday, the Sabbath. And the Bible tells us that God consecrated that day and he rested. He called it the Sabbath. A Sabbath is the day of rest. It's not Sunday, it's Saturday. Always was Saturday, always will be Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath day. He told the Jews, the Jewish people, the Israelites, to keep the Sabbath day holy, a day set aside to rest from their labors and to worship God, because we get so busy during the week. All right? This is a place where we can come and we can find rest for our souls. Amen? We get so busy during the week, 6 days a week. And he's only asking us to meet briefly on one day of the week. And some people can't even do that. Shame on them. And we understand why people sometimes can't make it to church, whether they're sick or they're on vacation or they've got other things that are occupying their time. So the Sabbath is a Saturday. It always was a Saturday. It always will be a Saturday, a day of worship and a day of rest for the Jewish people, not the church. Not the church. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you are part of the church. So people are in error when they call Sunday the Sabbath. It's not. The Sabbath was yesterday, not today. When Jesus, however, was crucified, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, he rose again on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Sunday, when the day of Pentecost came, when the church was founded, it was on the first day of the week. What's that? It was on a Sunday. The church was formed on a Sunday. When the Holy Spirit of God came down upon the apostles, and 3,000 people were saved, they heard the gospel message preached on a Sunday. The church began on Sunday. It is not the Sabbath. Now, soon after, the early Christians would meet regularly on a Sunday, the first day of the week, to worship God and have communion together, the Lord's Supper, and also fellowship with one another. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle John spoke of this day of worship, the Lord's Day, as the Lord's Day. That's what he calls it. You can read it for yourself. Revelation 1:10, the Lord's Day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And so it is for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to assemble together each and every Sunday, each and the first day of the week, together, to assemble together. So let us remember, there's that word again, remember. Remember the word remember. That whenever we come together to worship a holy God. That's the purpose why we meet together. Plus, we have a great time of fellowship together, don't we? We encourage one another, mutual encouragement, and that's what we need. We need that fellowship together to praise God for who he is, for all that he has done for us, what he's continuing to do for us. And that includes saving our dead, lost soul from the pit of hell. That's where we were going. That's where we were headed, and we didn't even know it. Psalm 40, verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he's established my goings. I love that hymn. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you standing on the rock? If you're standing on anything else, you're putting your faith in anything else, you're on sinking ground. So keep your feet on the solid rock, the rock that never rolls. Okay? The rock that never rolls. He's solid, man. He's solid. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never let you down. You can always rely on him. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally, just the way you are. See, people are up and down. They're fickle. One day they'll love you, the next day they won't. Jesus is not like that. His love doesn't change. It doesn't alter one iota. Thank God for Jesus. The truth is, Jesus did die. He was buried. He just didn't faint, and his disciples took him down before he died. Then he ended up marrying Mary Magdalene. That's blasphemy. That's a bunch of lies. He did die on that cross. He had to pay the price for our sins. He bled. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. And anyone, anybody, whether Jew or Gentile, Arab, whatever, from any tribe, any nation, that believe that Jesus died for them on that cross, all they need to do is call upon his name to save them, and he will. And then they can become part of the church as well, the redeemed. Have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and are guaranteed a home in heaven when they die, to give them everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Think about that. Eternally. Life, everlasting life, spiritual life, with God. With God. We'll see him. We'll see him as he is. Face to face, one day we'll meet him, face to face. And we're going to either meet him as our Savior, or we're going to meet him as our judge. Which is it? Now, those of us that are saved, we await for the coming of the Lord to meet him in the air at the rapture. And he says in Thessalonians chapter 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. If you don't believe in the rapture, then you don't believe the Bible and what it teaches. Read Thessalonians. Or because of what he has done, we have those freedoms to hear the gospel message preached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What about you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Will you be with the Lord when you die? Which you will. Will you be with the Lord when he returns? When we meet him in the air? Or will you be left behind to face God's judgment on planet Earth? Are you ready to face God's judgment? Revelation chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Verse 3 says, remember, there's that word again, remember, therefore, what you have received. You've received the word of God this morning. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. What does that mean? Turn from your sins to the Savior. It says, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Don't be like those foolish Egyptians that perished. So today, we do remember and have remembered the fallen. This coming Memorial Day tomorrow, this Memorial Weekend, the fallen. And this Memorial Day only comes around once a year. But first and foremost, let us daily remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the fall for us. He took the fall for us. He suffered in our place so we wouldn't have to be punished for our sins. Who do you know that would take the fall for you? Anyone you know would take a bullet for you? He did it, even when we were sinners, even when we were his enemies, he took the fall for us. So let's remember him with our time. Some of us haven't got much time left. We don't know. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Let's honor him and remember him with our time, the time that is given to us. We are to redeem the time and apply our hearts to wisdom. Even young people die. We read in the book of Exodus, the firstborn died. The babies died. There's no guarantee of another day on planet Earth. Remembering with our time, our talents, our treasure, it's not ours anyway. What we have has been given to us by the Lord. We don't own anything. It's been loaned to us with our treasure. Let's honor him with our thoughts, our prayers. So the average Christian probably prays about 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day? Hello? 3 minutes a day? Doesn't he deserve a little bit longer? You know he does. Let's honor him with our service, our praise, our worship. For the Christians are told to worship together. It's not an option. A lot of Christians, so-called professing Christians, I say so-called, I don't really know. Just because they say, Lord, Lord, it doesn't mean that they're truly saved. They know the talk. but only God really knows their hearts. It's not an option to come to church. It's actually commanded in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So let's remember his love, his goodness. Is God good or not? You know he is. You know he is. And he always will be, because that's his nature. God is love, his goodness, his mercy to us undeserving people. Amen. And I'll close with this. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Shall we stand together? And I read this morning. This is a great benediction. And this is my prayer. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a beautiful benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Oh, how much we do fall short, but you love us unconditionally. We're part of the righteous, the redeemed, the people of God. We're on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you for giving us abundant life. Thank you for giving us eternal life as a free gift. And your Son sacrificed himself on that cruel, bloody cross where you suffered an agony, bled and died. Your sinless, precious blood. You say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We have received the blood. And now we are no longer condemned to die, but we have everlasting life. There may be somebody listening to this message today, and I hope and pray that you'll believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, because you are a sinner. Acknowledge it before him, and then ask Jesus to save you, and believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. And if you make that prayer, and it's a sincere prayer, simply say, Jesus, save me. And then he always keeps his promises. He will. And when you do that, keep on coming to church. Go to a church where they teach and preach the pure gospel. And then grow in grace and be a witness for Jesus all the days of your life. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.